Boy. Yeah. Well, they're in luck. We happen to have a mission report tonight, so we're excited about that. We're going to do a little singing together, and then we'll turn it over to our mission team. By way of announcements, please check out your bulletins, okay? Follow those. Thank you for everyone that took a box home with them this afternoon for the Christmas shoe boxes. There are some left there, and we have more yet to make. I think we had about 50 go home this afternoon, so praise the Lord for that. That'll get us up to about 80, not 85, maybe close to 90, so we only have 110 more to do. But I think we can do that, folks. I really think we can. Thank you for those that are helping with this right now. So I'm going to go ahead and let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll do some singing together. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for your love for us. Lord, thank you for just the way you provide for us and the many blessings that we have. Thank you for allowing us to be here, not just the buildings that we have to meet in, but each other and the family ties that we share with each other. We thank you for that. God, I pray that our singing tonight would bring praise and honor and glory to you and the mission team as well as they present the way you worked in and through them while they were in Tanzania. We just hope, Lord, and pray that that would be honoring to you as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's have some family-style singing tonight, just sitting around the podium here tonight. Sometimes it happens at family gatherings where somebody will start a song and everybody joins in. So let's join in on this one. It's amazing what praising can do. Larry, you going to start us with Larry's favorite song?
Oh,
Joe, would you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can be here this evening, Lord. We thank you for the way that you do provide for us, and you provide abundantly, Lord. And we just pray that we could be cheerful in our giving tonight and just give back a part of that. And, Lord, that you would see your work being done and that we could give you all the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Emma Burge. Appreciate that. Now, encourage her after church. Come up and tell her you enjoyed it. If I went to encourage her, I'd tell her, Emma, I can't do that. I can't do what you just did. You did a good job. And we thank you for doing that tonight for us. Page 271, as we stand and sing together, No, Not One. No. No Other Friend.
You know, I think our, what do I want to call them, our music accompanists, they don't get acknowledged like they should. We're blessed with a lot of talent. You know? We really are. And after I said that, I'm playing by singing by tape. Well, anyway, somebody had to play it. But yeah, we were really blessed with musical talent in the instruments. All right, let's try this. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sin away. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. He paid the debt on Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erased. I now can sing a brand new song. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. One day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally. Won't it be glory to see him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Christ Jesus paid a debt that we could never pay.
Thank you, Charlie. All right, at this time, we're going to get ready to turn this over to our mission team. This is just really different for me because I will actually get to hear a mission report instead of being part of it. And this is different in a number of ways. That's one of the reasons why tonight is kind of different. The second reason is Mrs. Tippett is in a conga. Yes. And Bobby's sitting in the front row, folks. That makes me more nervous than curious. But I want to invite them to come up at this time. Thank you.
How about Izako? I just asked you, how are you?
Missouri.
And you should say, Missouri. That means good. Chinalongu ni Mama Dawn. My name is Mama Dawn. They call me that because my firstborn was named Dawn. So I am the mama of Dawn. I'm wearing a conga. I hope it doesn't fall off. African ladies wrap it around their clothes when they go out. I think it's part of just being modest. Our missionary, B.J. Schultz, gave us a lesson in Swahili. I didn't learn much more than what I just said. Tanzanian people do believe in God. There are Catholic churches, charismatic churches, and even several Muslim mosques. Driving on a Sunday, you can see them carrying their Bibles and walking to church. B.J. took us from his church in Moshi to an area 11 hours away. Mwanza for the Bible school. Fortunately, we were able to fly instead of spend so much time in the car over those bumpy roads. In Mwanza, we met Pastor Pellegrino and some of his church members. The building was simply made of cement blocks with cement benches. Bible school was to begin around 10 o'clock Tuesday morning. We decided to teach the younger children in the morning and the older ones in the afternoon after they were out of school. Yeah, they all came back anyhow. On Tuesday morning, we arrived after bouncing over the bumpy roads. BJ said we should begin each day with games. I wondered about that. Usually in our Bible school, we start with class time and then we have games. But BJ was wise. Playing games outside with a few kids drew the others to us. Soon we had 50 or 60 kids either playing or watching. Then we gathered them inside with the help of a Sunday school teacher named Magdalena, who knew how to get their attention. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And the kids would go, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I have no idea what it means, but she did it. Kids would answer her back, and then she would give them instructions. She led them in singing songs, and then it was our turn to teach the lessons. I had taken the wordless book lessons and revised them and typed them out line by line so that our interpreter, Mr. Rogers, could have some help. Mr. Rogers is a secondary school teacher who simply told his boss he had something he had to do this week and wouldn't be at school except for the first class each day. I wondered about that. Mr. Rogers is a Seventh-day Adventist. They believe in obeying the commandments, you know, being good, doing what you're supposed to do in order to get to heaven. Well, needless to say, Mr. Rogers heard a lot of gospel that week as he interpreted the wordless book message to the kids. And BJ and Pastor Pellegrino talked to him, too, a lot. As long as I followed the lesson that was all written out, teaching with an interpreter was not bad. Sometimes we had as many as 200 kids, and they sat still on those cement benches and listened intently, except for the tiny ones, the toddlers and below that we had, as we told the story of the wordless book. Pastor Pellegrino or another adult from his church would finish up each day with an invitation to accept Jesus. Several hands were raised. There were not enough adults to talk to each child individually, so they prayed with them collectively. I'm sure some children, and maybe even some adults, accepted Jesus. Hopefully, we gave that church some ideas for their own Bible school for next year. On Sunday, we gave Pastor Pellegrino copies of small wordless books like this to hand out to the parishioners after B.J. Schultz briefly explained the colors in the book. Hopefully, they will use them to tell the story to others. You don't see the black page. I'm sure we were an encouragement to Pastor Pellegrino's church and to him and to B.J. Schultz. But Pastor Pellegrino is a very busy man. I call him the Apostle Paul of Mwanza, or maybe the Billy Graham. I don't know. He pastors or oversees 10 churches and preaches in 4 of them every Sunday, traveling with his family of 4, 200 kilometers each Sunday over bumpy roads. I mean, bumpy roads. He has been asked by 3 other villages if he could come and start churches for them. Pastor Pelly's wife is a school teacher, so I'm sure her income makes it possible for Pastor Pelly to oversee all these churches. He feels stretched and told me he needs help. He asked us to send more help. Years ago, when I was in Bible college, the saying was, oh, don't go into the missions program because God might call you to Africa. But on seeing Tanzania, Africa, that doesn't sound too scary at all. The fields of Tanzania are white unto harvest. There are people everywhere. Pastor Pellegrino also told me he'd like to visit our church here at Grace someday. I was excited and thought, oh, that would be great. But as I thought about that for a while, I think I might be embarrassed if he came here. His church buildings are very simple and filled past capacity every Sunday. Ours is beautiful, but it's not filled. I think he would wonder why. Asante sana. Thank you very much. And now it's Babadon.
Leaving the airport, it seemed to be the Lord versus the devil. While we were stopped, we were hit by another vehicle. It was only a fender bender, but it could have been much worse. Each of us, while we were there, didn't feel good at one time or another. Even one of us missed a whole day of Bible school. And B.J. Schultz had headaches the first few days. Hopefully, it wasn't because of us. We arrived at the church, at the church. For Bible school the first day, I was approached by a young man named Eliphaz, who said, "You look like my grandpa. May I call you grandfather?" From that day on, we referred to him as our grandson. He was 25. We were later introduced to his wife. They were newlyweds, married in January. During the lessons, the children were very receptive and listened quietly. The need is heartfelt. Tanzanians seem to be happy, fairly clean, and content. Pastor Pellegrino was impressed by us, two old Christians, still married, still in love, after 40-plus years. He used us for an example in one of his sermons. There is great spiritual need from the government down. BJ stated the government had failed the people, poor infrastructure, poor roads, water, electricity problems. B.J. also quoted this verse, Psalms 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Our founding fathers knew God and wrote our Constitution with laws and ideas from the Bible. Our laws are based on our morally right. Tanzania laws and government are not based on the Bible. Therefore, the people obey the laws to avoid punishment. If they can get a by with stealing, for instance, they don't feel it's morally wrong, only legally wrong. To them, if they can steal without getting caught, they're okay. The Tanzanian Christians are putting all their hope and trust in Jesus. They have nothing on this earth. Their churches are full. They're in no hurry to leave church. In contrast, Americans are trusting in jobs, families, and things, cares of this world, and there's little time for God and church. That's the difference.
I didn't realize the service started at 6, folks, so I'm here. Actually, I say, as pastor wasn't able to go, and we were down to 5 people, but not 4. And you're probably saying, why were there only 4 up here? But what can you say about Tanzania almost that hasn't already been said? I will say sickness was mentioned earlier, and I admit I was one that was sick one day. And one thing that you try to learn when you go on a missions trip, the food's going to be a little bit different. The traveling, well, you've got multiple thousands upon thousands of miles. It takes about, 24, 26 hours to get over there. Try to readjust. I'm an old guy. I don't adjust to a time change at all. So if you don't sleep and you're trying to adjust to the food, and I think Bobby's got a picture of some of the restroom facilities, and if you haven't seen African restroom facilities, you'll definitely want to see that. What does that have to do with a missions trip? Well, it has everything to do with the culture. What is a missions trip? What were we going to expect? This was the first time that I had personally been to Africa on a missions trip. I'd been over there with my daughter on a safari several years earlier, but that's in tourist areas, and you know they're trying to show you and get money into their particular country. But when you get on a missions trip, you're actually seeing the local folks. You're seeing mom and dad. You're seeing the kids. You're sort of stripping away all of the special touristy type areas. We didn't go and climb Mount Kilimanjaro or something like that, like a tourist might do. We actually saw the folks in Tanzania. And you said, wow, what is a Tanzanian person? And I said, man, a Tanzanian person is considerably like us, other than the fact that they have virtually no income. We went to one pastor's house on a Saturday, and the one thing that sticks in my mind, or two things that stick in my mind, it was mentioned to us as we were leaving the house. He had stayed in a room, or rented a room, and he was paying the equivalent of $9 a month. That was too much for him. They moved two doors down to a place that cost $7 a month. Wow. For $2 a month, he moved his family into different accommodations. The second thing that stuck in my mind there, they were happy. They were a loving family. They opened us into their house with open arms, welcomed us, come on in. Here, have a bottle of water. Huh? You're living on what we would consider a sub-poverty level. But it's amazing to see where we went to the church and had the actual Bible school for 5 days. I wrote down one thing in my notes. Kids are kids. You know, these kids were from Africa, and we're from the United States here. But people are people. They had a fabulous time. To see kids come in, whether they were little kids, five-year-olds, seven-year-old, whatever, or even the teenagers, and they're playing what we call soccer, what everybody else in the world calls football or volleyball or whatever, and man, they're having a wonderful time. They don't have any money. They don't have hardly any personal belongings. But they have a longing to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. They have a longing for a family life. They have. It's amazing to see. And as one who's had the tremendous blessing to have been on several different missions trips, as I've said it before, I'd encourage all of you, whether you're a young person, whether you're an old person like me, or any place in between, consider going on a missions trip. Somebody asked a question a few weeks ago, and is it worthwhile to go on a missions trip? My short answer to that is, wow, if you want to actually get a burden for missions, if you really want to see firsthand what's going on a mission field, go over there for a few days, go over there for a few weeks. It'll change your life. You can read mission reports. You can see different videos. Bobby's going to show you 4,972 pictures here in a few minutes. That may be slightly exaggerated. And you can get a feel of what we went through every day and what a blessing it is. But to actually take the time to hop on the plane, go over there, have sleepless nights and yada yada and diarrhea and other things that you don't talk about from a pulpit, so I won't mention any of that stuff. But it's amazing to see and to have a blessing when you go on a missions trip.
First of all, we want to thank all of you for your support. The church took care of our airfare, and we greatly appreciate that, because it's not cheap getting there. And then we thank you for your prayer support. The accident was mentioned. That was at 10, 11 o'clock at night. It's very possible that maybe some of you during your lunchtime was praying for the mission team, that God be with them, God watch over them, and we thank you for that. There were other times, you know, even though we were 8 hours difference, maybe some of you, when you got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, ooh, Lord be with the mission team. Well, it was 10 o'clock over there, and we were getting ready to start Bible school, and we thank you for that. we're much appreciated for that. Anytime I go on a mission field, I go with one purpose, and that's to make people smile. And I don't care what I have to do. I do it to make people smile. And one of the strange experiences, and you're going to see it here in a little bit, was we took, and some of this I blame on Pastor, you know. He come up with these ideas, and then he stayed home. But we had this four-foot ball that we were going to play games with. And I don't know if you've ever seen one or not. They're very colorful. They look just like a giant beach ball, but the diameter is literally 4 foot. So we get that over there, and the first day, Pastor Pelly come to me, and he said, "Brother, let's go get a place to put some air in this thing." So we load up in his car, and we go to the edge of the village where all the marketplaces were at, where all the shops were at, and we found a place that had an air compressor. So here we are, and one thing you notice over there, a lot of people have a lot of idle time. You see people just standing everywhere. So here's this big, tall, white guy getting out of this car with this weird-looking thing that they start putting air into it. And as the more air we got into it, the bigger the crowd got. And I wish I could have taken a video of it. It was unbelievable because they were just in awe of what we were doing with this giant ball. We got it filled up. We got it closed up. We got it sealed up. Well, then we have a problem. Where do you put a four-foot ball when you got a car? So Pastor Pelly said, "Brother, you get into the trunk and you'll hold it while I drive back down." And it was fascinating to watch people because here we are driving down this road and there's a man in the trunk holding this giant ball. And everybody was just stopping what they were doing. But that was just one of the experiences. And that ball was a huge hit. I mean, we played a lot of different games with it, with the little kids, with the bigger ones. And it was a big hit. But a couple other things I want to talk about is the missionaries. We were allowed to stay in a home and use a vehicle of a missionary that was back here on furlough. They had never met any of us. They opened up their home and let us use their car the whole week we were there. And what a blessing that was to them to be able to do this. Another missionary that was there had us at different times come over and eat with them. And that was such a blessing too. And you realize missionaries live their life by faith. And Pastor BJ, I don't know if you were aware of it or not, but before we went, his wife Kathy's father had passed away. So the whole family was back here in Michigan. And BJ went home long enough to do the Bible school. And then he was going to come back. And so the whole time he was there, if you've ever been involved in family funerals, you know there's always issues. And there was. And so he was having to deal with that and then deal with us also. But his spirit was just amazing. And I didn't really know the man before I went. But after spending 2 weeks with him, he's become a dear friend. And you see him here at home, and you don't really get to know them very well. But I fell in love with him and his willingness to do things and watching everything he's involved in Tanzania. He is the field director there, overseeing not only the churches that Pastor Pelly's churches there in Mwanza, but also churches where he's at. And more than a dozen churches that he's had a part in and seeing start. And Pastor asked me what it was like over there, and I mentioned Haiti with the Bowers because a lot of similarities. And with the people, a lot of similarities. And you're going to see pictures of women carrying 5 gallon buckets of water on their head. And it just shows you, as was mentioned before, the poverty they live in. One afternoon, they ran out of water. It was the whole village had no water. And the kids were out playing and they were thirsty. And I went to Pastor Pelley and I said, "We don't have any water." And he said, "They'll have to do without." But that's their whole life. That's just the way they live daily, is doing without. But it was mentioned, their love for the Lord was amazing. And to be able to be there and to have a part, and just to be able to put some smiles on some faces, there's nothing like it. Seeing little girls 6, 8 years old carrying a baby on their back because mama's working. And that little child is a babysitter. And being able to take that, some of them, they was making fun of John because I could always find a kid to hold. And part of it was just so that that little 6, 8 year old child for just maybe an hour could be a kid again. And does it touch your heart? Oh, yes. It's amazing. And I thank the Lord for people like the Schultzes. They're willing to go and sacrifice everything. But there is no doubt that someday their reward in heaven, it's going to be something else. And again, I want to thank you all for being willing to have a part in this ministry.
Habari Zako. Gina Longuni Bobby, or Dada Bobby. I was known as Sister Bobby because I'm not married. In the Africans, they want to know what your story is. They want to know if you're married. They want to know if you have kids. And they want to know what you do for a living. They ask that every time. In Africa, hospitality is an important part of their culture. They always have time for people. BJ liked to say, Americans say time is money, whereas in Africa, time is time. There is no rush. We saw that when we were at the airport trying to check in. Somebody came over to say hello, and the agent waved the person over while we're waiting to try and get our ticket so we can make the plane, because there's no rush there. I was reading in my devotions early on in the trip and came across 2 Kings 6:17, where Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, Seth, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." Having your eyes open became a theme verse to me while on this trip. It's amazing how just little things, like stacking the plastic cups that we did in the game, or the big ball that John talked about, or having one crowded room to worship in that isn't fancy, is enough for them. You don't hear Africans complaining about how hard their lives are. We get so caught up in making sure everything is perfect, or we're so busy with everything that's going on in our lives that we forget to focus on the people around us and God. Tanzania was an amazing overall experience that didn't just teach me about their culture, but about myself. Hopefully, I can follow their example and remember what is truly important. Thank you for all your prayers. I have a bunch of pictures to show you, so I hope you guys like pictures. I think there was over 9,000 pictures and videos taken between all of us. I think I got about 300 or so pulled, but we'll go through them quickly. So I hope your eyes will be open to see what it's like for us while we were there, but also what it's like for them on a daily basis. And I have to go down here and do it because a little clicker doesn't work. So sorry, y'all. Okay, so this is us At the airport, the very first day, as you can see. Then we got in Amsterdam. Sorry, these pictures look kind of weird. In Amsterdam, all you see is bicycles over and over again and canals. We were kind of surprised by how many bicycles there really are there. We were able to take a cruise on the canal at night, and they have like 2,500 houseboats. And we also went to the Anne Frank House. That's us in the little boat for the evening cruise, and they gave us some pizza. This is all the stuff that we brought to BJ and Kathy. We had a lot of trouble at the airport. We don't have any pictures of that, actually, at the airport, but they had to do a bunch of different we had to bring BJ in. He had to talk to the people at the airport. They had to do a lot of negotiating to be able to actually bring all that food in because they were going to confiscate it all. So thank you for your prayers that we actually did be able to give it to them. The person on the left, his name is Sunday. He was the driver for John and I from the airport to the hotel that we were staying at. The rest of the group was in the other vehicle with BJ. And BJ told us that we could practice our Swahili with him because we had been looking Swahili up on the way to Chicago. So we would talk to Sunday in Swahili or ask him questions. And if he didn't understand what we would say, he'd just be like, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. And you're like, oh, okay. He doesn't know what we're talking about. So that kind of became a phrase that we used a lot throughout the trip. If we didn't want to answer somebody or didn't know. So if you hear, yeah, sure, that's what it is. This is the hotel that we stayed at. The first one actually lost our reservation, so BJ actually got us this hotel, which was just right around the corner from his house, the day that we were coming in. They didn't have anybody there. So these were the two guys that took care of us, John and Brad, I think. And they made us breakfast and everything. So this is the first church that we went to in Moshi. This cross is like right there by it, and this is the church that Pastor Filimoni preaches in, or the other pastor, Stanley. They take turns each week going between this church and the other church. This is their Sunday school classroom, and BJ let us get up in the pulpit. So, and that is Pastor Filimoni and his son, I believe. And that's his wife, Happiness. And then this was on the way to Stanley's house, the other pastor. As they told you earlier in the testimonies, he lives in the one room with his family. And this is all communal, where they do the cooking and the laundry. This is at BJ's house. You'll notice that he has a couple of dogs. He actually has four of them. And then that green gate back there is security. Every house over there in Tanzania has a gate, and they have a guard that watches it, because otherwise they have people breaking in and stuff. And then the dogs are very important because people tend to stay away from all the dogs as well. This was a crash course in Swahili that first day with BJ. He just gave us the basic things that we need to know. If you have any questions or want it, ask Ms. Tippett. She's about the only one that speaks it really good. And this is the church in Moshi that we went to. This is them singing. They're very, very happy. I think there's a video next of them actually singing. And then they had some Bibles that we were actually able to donate to them. And so this is John presenting the Bibles to them. Sorry about the video. I didn't realize I filmed it wrong and we can't turn it.
To present to you this precious gift. Nikura Etu, Kutoka Kenisa, Nletu, Na Kutoka Sisi, Kukumba Mpungaji, Izi Nitabu Menoa.
Amen.
asked us each to give our testimony, so he would translate it to them. So there's a picture of each of us. There is a video of Miss Tippett. You can see BJ had some trouble. So as I explained, they always ask you about your story. Well, Miss Tippett was telling them that she had 18 grandkids and 2 great-grandkids, and BJ was unsure how to say great-grandkids, so he had to turn back to the pastors and break down saying, okay, you have your mother, their kid, and go down until he got the correct translation. So even our translator had some trouble at times. And they do their offering a little bit different. They keep it at the front, and they sing their songs, and you walk up and put your money underneath the covering there. So something to think about, Pastor. And this is the group there. Some people are kind of caught up. It was hard to get everybody there, but I think there was around maybe 200, I think, on that Sunday. Africans love to take pictures, so every time we had our camera out, there would be a ton of people wanting to get a picture. And this is a guy that got a Bible. He was very proud of it that day. And this is kind of the stuff that we saw as we were driving in Moshi. We also took a coffee plantation tour. Sorry you missed it, Pastor. You would have loved it. They took us through all the different steps where they go out to the field and they pick it and then they put it through this different process. I don't know all the terms. I'm not a coffee lover. So it was cool to see. And they did make some coffee for us. He's explaining a little bit here.
$2 per kilo?
Yeah, at a minimum guarantee price.
Per kilo?
Yeah, per kilo. For 2 pounds, 0.2.
Okay,
yeah. Then from there, we can send to the cooperative. If you want to make a new plant, you can take a plant, put it in the pool and put it in the ground and get a new coffee plant. And also out from here, we can make a nice cup of coffee. So to remove the husk, in order to export it, we use machine. But for a small farmer, if you want to make a cup of coffee, you use machine, but you have a pestering mortar, and you can pound it, and the husk come off, and you get the green beans. Then after there, I'm going to show you how we grade it according to the size. Because the coffee is...
The guy, I can't remember his name, but he made us work on every step there was. John was doing the grinding. Miss Tippett and I did some of the smashing. And then we cooked it over a fire. Miss Tippett and I had to stir because that's a woman's job over there. And then the guy started making designs in the coffee grounds for me since I don't like the coffee that they made me try. And then this is the final step from beginning to end of what it takes to make coffee. This is Kilimanjaro. This is one of the ways that the country actually makes money over there is a lot of people come hike it. It's kind of hard to see with the clouds, sorry. Or they go on a safari. And this is the church that we actually went to in Mwanza to have the Bible school. And then on the outside, that's a baptistry. So if anybody wants to get baptized, that's where you have to go. At least it's nice weather, though. And then this is our welcoming committee. And this is the Tippett's grandson, Elephant. It sounds like elephant. And this is the Ahelsby's home. This is the missionary family that fed us a couple nights. As you can see, Mr. Hanley was making friends with the 2 youngest kids. He's trying to take a nap. And then that is Kate, with the gerbils that they have. They had a 5-passenger car. Well, when you count BJ, we have 6 in our group. So I got stuck in the trunk of the Jeep. And that's me laying on all the stuff in the back. And so this is kind of a bad, hard video to see, sorry. But this is what it's like driving in Tanzania.
I might get a wreck on film.
Anyhow, Mississippi.
So there's cars that are everywhere. There's three lanes. You can, any side can drive in the middle to pass. So you kind of just take your chances that nobody else is going to come at you. And then they have people on motorcycles, and they don't respect the motorcycles there. So they, every car kind of passes them, and then you have people just walking across the road wherever they want or in the road. So, and there's John. And this, we tried to play duck, duck, goose with the kids. They don't have duck, duck, goose. They went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, go, I think is how it went. And this little girl, her name is Megan, her Meg. We were playing big ball, and John got involved and plowed her over. So he became friends with her after that. The kids absolutely love the big ball that John was talking about. This is actually at the school field. We walked down the road to where they have school and played in the field. And the kids were just running around having a great time with the big ball, even before we started playing organized games with it. You'll see these two. These are our the people that helped Mr. Rogers, the interpreter on the left, and then on the other side, it's hard to see, is Magdalena, which is the lady that Miss Tippett told you about. And this is just basically, they call a number, you run out and try to get the ball back to your side. The problem was the kids kept forgetting what number they were. So they would just kind of run out whenever they wanted or. And BJ told me I had to go play with the teenager girls. So I got my number called, so I had to go out there to try to help our team. And this is Miss Tippett telling the first day of the wordless story. And then every day we would do the Bible school in the morning, and then we would take a lunch break. The first day we went to this hotel and just had a soda before we went back and had the church people. They made lunch for us every day, rice and beans. This is a game that BJ invented on the fly. It's just basically don't let the balloon touch the ground, sort of. But there's offense and defense, and so he was moving the girl over because there was a hole. The kids absolutely love playing with these balloons. And they were singing Right In, Right Out song. And Miss Tippett said she used to teach it where you glue your feet down, so that is what BJ is teaching them at the moment. And then each day we also had either John or Mr. Hanley tell another story. And then the leaders of the church would lead us in singing. So you would do about a line, and then Mr. Rogers, the interpreter, would tell them what they said. And we don't even know if he actually said everything that we said. This is the area where we stayed at. It was a really nice house. This is their house. They have the gate as well, and you can see the vehicle that they let us use there. Not a lot of room, but we made it work. They had two dogs. This is Zoe. She would pop her head through the door of the gate. So you could be sitting in the house and you hear the gate and you're like, oh, that's just Zoe. And you hoped it was Zoe and not somebody actually coming in, because most of the time you just thought it was the dog. And they have a house, and then they have a guest house, which is a lot of houses there. And so the guys stayed in the guest house, so they had bunk beds and a nice little lounge area when they first walked in. And then the Tippetts and I stayed in the big house. This is Pindo, their housekeeper. All Africans have a housekeeper. They think we're weird when we don't have one. This is John and Mr. Hanley playing London Bridge with the kids. We were waiting for the big ball to come because they had to go fill it up. So we were just making games up on the fly. This is a beanbag toss where we just threw it into a chair because we didn't have a bucket. It's simple, but they absolutely loved it. Wouldn't know that it's not the correct way that you do it. And that was Magdalena's little yell that Miss Tippett told you about. We bought some plastic cups, and they don't have plastic cups. You don't see the kids with cups, and we just played the Minute to Win It games that you guys do here for the All Church Bible School, and they absolutely loved it. When they go to get the water, they have one cup that all of the kids share over and over. They would take their drink, and they would pass it to the next kid. So they're supposed to make the pyramid and then unstack them and put it into one. And here's John teaching. They had two teams, Simba and Yanga, I think, which is the name of their football. And this is the red page that I taught. And then Pastor had given us, I think it was a stack apples or something in the Minute to Win It description of games. We bought oranges, and we're stacking them. I tried to do it, and I didn't do very good at all. And then Mrs. Tippett and Mr. Hanley actually stacked them. I think I have a video of it, maybe. But they did pretty good.
How do y'all do that so easily?
This was right after I did really bad.
Obviously, I don't stack fruit.
Okay, I think I'm recording.
And this is Mr. Tippett and I trying to practice getting the cookie from your forehead to your mouth so we could show the kids. I made it here. With their hands. Can they do it?
Oh, she did it!
And they cut off Mr. Tippett, but he didn't make it, so he just popped it in his mouth and said that he got it. But then when I went to show the kids, I couldn't do it. But they figured it out pretty quickly, and they're actually really good at doing this. And the whole time, no matter what game we did, you can kind of see it here, they would crowd up past the first pew, and they would keep crowding into the game area. So we're trying to tell them to come, stay back so you can see, but they absolutely loved it. We went out to a restaurant, and we ordered some chicken. It didn't really have a lot, but it was decent. You pick it up, you eat it with your hands. That was our lunch one day. That way the rice and the beans could go to the kids, because otherwise they may not have gotten a meal that day. And this is what we saw a lot in Mwanza, is just the marketplaces, stuff all inside. You'd see all these shoes, or you go down, you see like shirts laying out or pants. It's very, very crowded. You see a lot of motorcycles. That's how they would get people around. It's like their taxis. This is a four-bump thing. They have a couple of them, and they're really annoying.
Yeah, listen to all the sounds.
This is driving in the village. So we had to drive to the church. It took us about an hour from where we were to get to the church to do the Bible school. We would make the drive in the morning. We left at lunch most of the way, and then we came back after lunch, and then we drove home at night. So we made the trip four times in a day, except for on Saturday we did it twice, and Sunday we did it twice. But it's very bumpy, very holy. You're always on the wrong side of the road. These are just simple games that they loved. Hit the balloon with your head across to the other side of the wall. We took the toilet paper that you saw, and they didn't really know what to do with toilet paper because a lot of them don't really have toilet paper, so you kind of found that all around the bathroom later on, which the bathroom there was just a hole in the ground. And this is their lumber yard. This is where we bought some lumber to make basketball hoops for the big ball. So one on each side. You'll see a couple of them. BJ decided just to let one kid at a time get on there. And then we let go of the ball and it started rolling and they adored it. This is the kids using a rolling watermelon. I think it's called Tiki Tiki Maje Mistipit. And some days we had organized games with the big ball. Sometimes we didn't. The kids just liked throwing it up in the air and hitting it after a while. So they just started doing that on their own after we taught them that in one of the first games. As you can see, this is the basketball hoop. We did one for each side. But going down the full court didn't really work with the little kids because they couldn't get the ball up. So we just would take turns shooting at one goal. And the other team would defend. But the big kids loved it, which was actually really a surprise because they're all about football, soccer, over there. They would ask to play it every single day. But they got involved in the big ball basketball and the big ball volleyball, and they liked them. So it was really nice to actually get them away from playing soccer. We took down the goal, one of the goals, took one of the poles to make a volleyball net. And just used rope. And you can see there's John, super excited with the kids that his team scored. And then we had just the rope up another day, and we played regular volleyball with the kids. I'm not sure if I have it in here, but some of the kids would come back from school in their uniform, their sweater, their tie, with their book bag on, and they would just start playing. And then they would end up leaving because they had to go home to eat. The kids, they would all just love on you. They give you hugs all the time. They want to take pictures. They would come sit on your laps. They didn't care if they really knew you. They didn't care if you could speak their language. If you smiled and said hi to them, you guys were best friends. These are the croquet water balloons that you guys have made for us. One day we just kind of did like a snowball fight where we just threw them back and forth. Another day we did get some water, so they passed them over underhead to each other, and the kids were just like shocked by the water hitting their faces. And then BJ started a all-out water balloon fight like the last night. There was a couple teenagers in the back, and they didn't want to play, so BJ pointed at them. And the kids started throwing there, and that's how the whole water balloon fight got out of control. BJ hit the whistle multiple times, and the fight was still going on. They loved the water balloon fight. This is a nice restaurant that we went to. Everything is pretty cheap there. I think I have a couple pictures of the food. That was like 27,500 shillings, I think. And so it's about half of that in American dollar. So if you had 28, it's about $14 for all of that. That other picture was a picture of the church, one of the churches that Pastor Pelly goes to every Sunday. He took us on his drive to show us the four churches and the 200 kilometers that he drives every day. This is one of the markets that we had walked into. And this is us with Mr. Rogers, the interpreter, and then we've added Pastor Pelly and Magdalena, the people that were the most help to us, that helped run the whole Bible school. This is the Sunday at the church that we had spent Bible school at. This is what we walked into. Oh, can you go back to that, Carlton, please? It goes a little bit more. So they had this whole movement thing planned out with their singing, and they have speakers and sound system and lights flashing that we didn't even know that they had. And we just got there Sunday. We had heard that it was going to be really, really loud. You can't tell there, but it was very, very loud, even standing outside the door. This is the kids telling us their verse that we learned. And this is BJ on Sunday telling the wordless story to all the church people. And this is a picture with the church. There was 200 plus people. Every time Mr. Tippett went to count, he would come back with one number. And next thing you know, about 20, 25, 50 more people walked in. So he never had an accurate count of how many people were there. This is them telling us goodbye on the last Sunday. We lined up. They came through and shook our hands, and then they lined up, and so the people at the end went through everybody shaking hands, and then we started taking pictures. It took a while to actually leave that day. And these two boys had helped out a lot with the games and coming in the morning to help out with the little kids and then came in the afternoon. We thought they were teenagers. We found out later on they're actually like in their middle 20s. That is Elephant with his wife. On the last day, Pastor Pelly would pick up BJ every single day, and BJ and Mr. Rogers would ride with Pastor Pelly to the church, and so we could fit the five people. Well, on the last day, Pastor Pelly wasn't coming back with us, so we had six people in the vehicle, so that's why I'm sitting in the back. I upgraded to a pop-up chair instead of laying on all the stuff. So I had to go on all the – we went on the dirt roads, and I was facing backwards as we went through it all. This is an evening cruise that we took with the Helsbys, the family that fed us. That baby crocodile you saw, it comes up on the dock every single day to get sun. And then we went on a safari. So there's just a couple there's some pictures of each of the different animals. These pictures are really Miss Tippett's and Mr. Hanley's. They had the nice big cameras so they could zoom in really far, and it looked way better than having your cell phone try to take a picture. We saw a lot of different stuff. It was very dusty, but this is a way that the Africans make money for their country. This is the area, this is the tent cabin that we stayed at. It was much nicer than I thought it was going to be. And this is the hot water tank. They ask you when you want to take your shower, and then they bring the hot water to you, pour it into the tank. You let it heat up for a few minutes, and then you have hot water, but it doesn't really come out very well. So you didn't really get much water to take a shower. Those were the different names of the tent. Each tent had a different animal. This is the lunch, and this is the dinner that we had there. And then Mr. Peter was our driver. He was with us the whole time. And then we saw a rainbow. It's kind of hard to see a rainbow right before we left the tent cabin on the last day. This is the Messiah Village that we went through. They let us come in. They had a welcome song for us. They jump. They let you actually go into their little tents. You take a person and two of you go in, and then they tell you about it, and they want your camera so they could take pictures for you. And these are all just kind of random pictures that are not really in any order, so we don't necessarily have to look at them if you guys don't want to. If you want to see more, we can. BJ did ask for some close-up pictures of the kids, so he could start putting on like his presentations or his website. So that's why you see a lot of close-up pictures too. And during each of the games, it may look like complete chaos, but they loved it. They enjoyed it. And then, as Miss Tippett had said, they would sit down for the singing. They would sing the songs, and then they listen for the stories completely. The only ones that, you know, were any trouble were the ones that are about 2 years old who were picking on each other. But other than that, they sat there for the stories. It was really amazing to see. And that's the squatty potty. Well, a version of a squatty potty. That's a nicer one. I was fortunate enough to only have to use the squatty potty 5 times the trip. Miss Tiffin and I would avoid them as much as possible. Thankfully, the places that we stayed the night at had real toilets. If you ever want to go to Africa, make sure you get to experience the squatty potty. I think that's all I have.
All right. Well, let me say thank you to the whole team. That was a great, wonderful presentation. Appreciate you allowing us to be a part of that with you and the experience that you had. And I would echo some of the thoughts that were said earlier. You need to go on a mission trip. Absolutely. Armin, how old are you? 68. Okay. There's no age that's too old to go on a mission trip, folks. So think about that as we will be making them public in the future as far as the ones that we're going to be planning here shortly. And then you can start planning, making plans to go. Just do one. Just do one. And don't let the language bother you. It didn't bother you guys at all, did it? Great trip. Thank you for sharing that with us tonight. Let's all stand. Gary, would you lead us in a closing chorus, please?
No matter what the country, no matter what the city, God can still be a fortress. As the missions team explained to those kids and parents and grown-ups over there, we need a fortress. Let's sing it together.